All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, this morning. Matthew chapter number 17. Thank you. You can be seated. Matthew chapter 17. Boy, that was good singing, wasn't it?
Amen.
I know you're tired, but man, you hear music like that, that helps you wake up, doesn't it? Amen. I appreciate that trio, and I appreciate that ensemble. That takes a lot of work, a lot of practice, a lot of organization. I appreciate all the effort that's gone into this week. And anyone that's put anything together, and whether it's a one day, a one youth activity, or a whole week conference like this, they respect highly all the work and time and effort and prayer that goes into that, the money, all the prayers. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. Thank you so much, members of this church. If you're visiting here today, boy, it's an honor to be here. And thank you, members, for all your work and labor. And those of you that are running on totally Holy Ghost right now, you're doing well. Amen. And I appreciate it. I am honored. And let me say, I would be wrong if I didn't say something, but thank you for all the kindness to my family and the rooms. And I mean, there was more stuff than we could handle in 2 days, so we took the rest with us. Amen. And they even put extra pillows on the bed. We took those. I appreciate that. And new set of towels. Man, that's awesome. Boy, you went overboard, and I don't know what to say. And for some reason, the maids were screaming at us, but we ran quickly, so it's fine. It's all good. Amen. But I appreciate it very much. And I'm excited. I love preaching. Don't misunderstand. I can remember when I was a kid preaching to stuffed animals. And I mean, I just repeat whatever Dad said on Sunday morning. So I had three animals that would leave. I don't know why they kept leaving my church. But they'd get saved many times. I baptized quite often. So I love preaching, okay? And I've been preaching every night since May the 10th. And I was excited to get a day or two with my family. And so we went and played golf yesterday. Y'all pray for me, okay? And we did great on the front nine, got baptized on the back nine. And so I ain't got to go sowing in this week because I counted everything. Amen. It's all in the water. Praise the Lord. But had a great time. And I appreciate that. Get a chance to, my wife's spent a lot of money. And so anyway, I'm going to be on the street corner afterwards. We'll preach for food. God bless. And I'm just going to hold it out, see who takes me. Amen. But honored to be with my hero, Dr. Darrell Cox. And I really mean that. I mentioned to the church Sunday a little bit, but my first meeting as an evangelist was at the Trinity Baptist Church in Mocksville, North Carolina. And that dear man of God and his family took awfully good care of us. And I owe him a lot. I preached my first funeral at the Trinity Baptist Church of Mocksville, North Carolina. And I'll never forget, I was there. I just graduated from Bible college. I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, you think you got it all figured out. College students slay me. They're ready. They got the whole world mapped out how we can win in 30 days. And then they get out there and call back. Can I come back for my master's degree? And, you know, I'll never forget. It was just a crazy week. Of course, you know, Dr. Cox, he travels all the time. And sometimes he named it Trinity because sometimes there's three of them. He preaches in three churches at once. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But he called me in one day and said, Brother Scott, I got to talk to you. And I said, what can I do for you? Anything. You name it. I mean, I've already moved buses. Steve and I, his son, we, you know, chained buses together, drug them out. We painted things. We got a dunk tank out of the woods and baptized 50 kids in that. Honestly. And we've done a lot. And I said, anything you want. He said, well, I got no boy. He died. I said, okay. And you need to preach his funeral. I said, me? He said, well, yeah, I'm going to be out of town. I said, everybody's gone. And I said, but there'll be a crowd there. Everybody will be there. They'll all show up, see him. He said, but he came to church, got saved, but that's about it. I said, he's backslid. He's riding a motorcycle, med truck, and he's in heaven. And I said, I've never preached a funeral. And he looked at me with that dad look. He said, well, you went to Bible college, didn't you? I said, yeah, but I didn't listen. I mean, come on. They gave me a degree because my mom ran the place. Are you kidding me? He said, well, good night. I didn't even go to Bible college. I know how to do funerals. He said, just preach on hell, scare them all, they'll get saved. I said, okay. So sure enough, that Tuesday morning, the place was packed. And I walked in there, and only one guy I knew, Brother Keith, he leads singing there at Trent, he still does, but he was playing the organ right on this side. And I walked up, place was packed, there's the casket. I don't know this guy. So I'm reading the eulogy in the paper, I'm trying, thinking sad thoughts. This is sad. Someone's loved one, someone's father, someone's son, someone's husband, blah, 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 blah. And so as a preacher, I'm trying to get, okay. So I look at Brother Keith, I don't know why it hit me. I was like, I wonder if that PA's on. Ain't nobody here. So I said, hey, Brother Keith, he's playing the organ. He goes, what? I said, is that PA on? He said, I don't know. He's playing away. You know, folks are coming in. He goes, can you play the organ? It's like, no, I can't play the organ. And don't pull that Bible college card on me either. Amen. He said, well, come hold this cord. I'll be right back. I am not holding that cord. So he quit playing the organ, went, turned to PA, came back. And we preached. And boy, I had about 20-something get saved. And I thought, this is pretty cool. So I put me in revival fires. I do funerals. Amen. And I can marry and bury now. But it's an honor. And I tell you what, that man of God's taught me a lot. And I appreciate him very, very much. And I love his family. He's good friends with my father and our family. And there's not a week goes by that my wife and I don't remember things that went on there. Some we're not going to tell him. Others, we'll tell him. And but anyway, Matthew chapter 17, if you would, turn your Bibles there. I'm going to preach, get out of the way. Looking forward to hearing Dr. Cox preach in just a moment. Could you stand with me, please? Matthew chapter 17. Let's read a few verses and we'll get into this. I know my brother did a good job. I'm sure he accused me of a lot of things, but it wasn't true. Amen. What my sons did to his motel room is none of my business. I just purchase everything and tell them how to do it. Amen. And never mind. We can't get all that. He'll get me back, I'm sure. Matthew 17, because he's a bitter man. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Our Heavenly Father, would you help me to be a help to my friends? I'm honored to be here this week. I really am. Lord, you know my heart. I love preaching. Just love hearing it, love preaching it. But most of all, it's an honor to be with folks of like-minded kindred spirit. Thank you for the wonderful work that's gone into this week. This is a church that goes all out. That's obvious. Would you please continue to strengthen them? Would you meet their needs spiritually, financially? I pray that you build a hedge about this work. No doubt the devil would love to shut a place like this down. Souls being saved, lives being changed, young people, a next generation coming up, being pointed the right way. Would you give wisdom to this place? Father, we sure do love you. I pray that you bless my hero, my friend, in just a moment as he comes to preach the word of God. Would you touch him in a great way? Please help me to be a blessing. Bless my brothers. He travels back home. Bless my daddies. He's traveling home right now. Would you be with him as well? Thank you for your goodness, your kindness. We love you. Would you meet with us now? And I promise you, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. You deserve every bit of it. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 17, it's a tremendous story that we're going to look at just for a few moments here. And it's a story about Jesus taking his disciples apart. And I love it every time Jesus would spend personal time with his men. Can you imagine? I mean, this is a great crowd here this week at this conference. And you've been in some big crowds, small crowds, little crowds. But can you imagine? Take the whole town of Columbus. Because when Jesus showed up, multitudes, the Bible said, would come. There would literally at sometimes be 20 to 30,000 people that would come. Some would follow him for days. As he would walk from town to town, they would watch him. Sometimes he said, you only followed me because I fed you physically. Some of them, he said, you only followed me because you're seeing the miracles I've done on those that were diseased, John chapter 6, verse 1. There were other times that personally things had happened in their life, and they said, hey, I want to follow you everywhere, Mark chapter 5. And he said, the best thing you could do for me is stay here and tell everybody how good I've been to you. And that man ended up leading an entire town to Christ. But everywhere Jesus went, multitudes would follow him. And I can't blame him. As a believer, I would want to follow Christ. But isn't it strange, and I don't want to get off track, but isn't it strange, as believers, we say we would follow him physically if he were here on this earth, yet we do not even talk to him spiritually while we know we have him here on this earth. But even greater than that, he says, you 12, come with me. There were times, Brother Mann, where the Bible says he expounded all things to him. He said, let me teach you how to be a dad. Let me teach you how to be a friend. Let me teach you how to preach like I preach. Let me teach you how to teach like I teach. Let me teach you how to heal. Let me teach you how to love. Let me teach you how to feed. Let me teach you how to be that master that can care for all creation, yet turn around to a little lad and say, thanks for letting me use your lunch. It's awesome. Look what you did. He expounded all things. It's unbelievable. And yet even greater than that, there was quite a few times he'd say, you three, Peter, James, and John, come with me. I don't know why they were the lucky ones. You have to ask God when you get to heaven. But here they are. They got to see Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. It's pretty cool. Yeah. They got to pray all night. They fell asleep, but hey, you ever prayed all night? You know, be careful. Right. Yeah. We were talking earlier about be careful about some of the songs you sing, you know. Yeah. Sweet hour prayer. Have we actually, you know, sweet 30 seconds of prayer? Maybe I ought to rewrite it. But they got to pray with him all night. Then here's another time where Jesus said, hey, you three, you know, I don't know if Matthew got jealous. I don't know if Luke said, how come it's always you three? I don't know, John, I'm just so glad it's me because I love you. James, the pastor, let me give you three reasons why we get to go with him. Peter's just mean enough and cantankerous enough. He kept showing up. I don't know, you know. I love Peter. He's my favorite disciple. If Jesus wrote memos, Peter got them all. Peter, we don't fish naked. Peter, we don't curse. Peter, stop chopping people's ears off. Peter, I mean, he'd get memos every day of his life. One verse, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus said, you've been meet with my Father. Six verses later, get thee behind me, Satan. And it's like, man, a hero to a zero. He's even walking to the end of the line. Judas going, I'm just a devil. You're Satan, man. That's bad. But here it is again. They go with Jesus to a high mountain. In the Christian life, there are good times and there are bad times. Every one of us have shed tears. If you haven't, you will. That's why young people listen to mom and dad and listen to your pastor and listen to your Sunday school teacher. Anytime, let me talk to the young people for about 30 seconds. Anytime someone makes statements like, you know, the best decision I ever made, I would stop everything in my world and try to find out what is the best decision you ever made. Or if anyone ever says, I'm going to tell you the dumbest thing I ever did, I would stop everything in my world and say, time out, I got to hear the dumbest thing they ever did. Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't mind my brother and sisters getting a whooping. That was time to go to school. I backed up and said, now what made Dad mad? Everything. Okay. Why is Mom trying to kill my two sisters right now? You know, and that's time to learn. There are bad times in the Christian life. There's a valley. The good thing about valleys are you got to have two mountaintops in order to make a valley. So when you're in the bottom, at the bottom of the valley, every now and then just turn around and remember how good God was. Amen. Rejoice about how great he was. Learn through the valley, but then look straight ahead and say, you know, I don't know when I'm getting back up there, but there's going to be another mountaintop right ahead. There are bad times, and we should learn from those. But we should also learn from the good times. Jesus takes them to a mountaintop. You've had a mountaintop Sunday. Boy, it was good to be here Sunday. I'm telling you, God met with, I really believe that. Sunday morning, man, as soon as the service started, the music, I mean, it was like, good night. It's going to be a good week. Man, evidently, God's met Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. Now, Wednesday morning, he'll meet with us in a little bit when Brother Cox gets up here. Okay? I think he just sits down. Oh, Scott's preaching. And But he'll meet with us in a little bit. Can I tell you the problem, though, if we're not careful, we focus so much on the valleys, and we should. Don't misunderstand. We should learn everything we can. But if we're not careful, we go to the mountaintop and, yeah, I shouted it out. Yeah, we had a great time. Let's go back to the real world. But there's nothing wrong with the mountaintop.
Right.
No, you can't live there, but you sure can enjoy there.
Amen.
And I want to preach for just a few moments on how to handle the mountaintop. What do we do? How do we handle it? There's so many people, I'm going to use this one right here if I can. Too many people were negative about everything.
Amen.
Boy, it's a good day, isn't it? Yeah, it's going to rain.
Yeah, come on. Oh.
Amen. Boy, it's nice and cloudy. I wish the sun were shining. It's like, really? Can you die and go wherever you're going so
yes,
we can
sir.
Enjoy life? I'm never going to die. In the words of Andy Griffith, you're just going to nasty away. Amen. That's episode 130. But anyway, you know what? It's not always bad to be a Christian.
Amen.
It's not always negative. I know some preachers are scared to preach on something happy because everybody will think they're Joel Osteen. If you're a real fundamentalist, it ain't going to take 30 seconds to find out I ain't nowhere near Houston, Texas. Say amen right there.
Amen.
That's probably why they got the mayor they got. Hey, listen to me. We ought to get happy about serving God.
Amen.
Enjoy singing, enjoy preaching, enjoy
amen.
Sunday school, enjoy soul winning, enjoy church, enjoy the Bible, enjoy the bus route, enjoy it all. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice
amen.
And be glad in it. Amen. Even when you're tired and wore out physically, man, that's when you can open your spirit,
amen.
Get the world out of you a little
amen.
Bit, and say, God, I really would want you to meet with us, and I really do want you to talk to me today. I got to have some help on the job. I got to have some help in my marriage. I got to have some help with my kids. God, I'm really not sure what direction to go. And when you're on the mountaintop with Jesus Christ, it's worth every bit of it.
Amen.
Everyone will have valleys. But can I say, by way of introduction, how do we handle the mountaintop? Well, in verse number 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Can I say, by way of introduction, let Jesus take you.
Amen.
You know, when he takes you, you're going to be fine. But where are we going to go? It don't matter.
That's right.
I mentioned it Sunday, but Jesus walked right up to Matthew, didn't give him a business card, didn't introduce himself to him. He didn't say, hi, I'm the Son of God. I'll change your world. I'll save your soul. I'll change. Hey, when I die, if it ain't for me, this whole world's going. No, he just walked up and said, follow me. And he arose. How many messages does it take before we arise?
Amen.
Why can't he walk up and just say, follow me? Well, what's the benefits? Follow me. What do I get out of it? No, let Jesus take you. It's like a parent taking a child by the hand. Let Jesus Christ take you. Let the Holy Ghost do whatever it is he wants. Every time you hear preaching, open up your heart and say, God, you tell me what you want. Change, I'll change it. You tell me what you want me to add, I'll add it. Let Jesus take you. Let Jesus try you. In verse number 1, the Bible says he taketh his brother and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. That wasn't easy. Let him try you. You know, not everybody's going to the mountain. There's a lot of people that'll be here this week. Good crowd in here this morning, and I'm not going to preach at you for being here. But I wonder who had to. And there's some ain't happy. I mean, just be honest. I went to a lot of services I wasn't happy to be there. When I was a kid, my daddy, I was a drug baby, man. I was drugged Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's some servant. Oh, are you kidding me? You know, and you acted like you were shouting just so you could look at your watch. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, yes. You just take off running and act like he's happy so you go out and use the bathroom. We were in a service. It went till, took my teenagers down to Brother Tony's. I'm trying to think of the date. Anyway, I took about 40, 50 of the RUSA teens. They're all public school kids. I mean, every one of them. Joe, were you with us? We got in at 5 on Friday night and left at 1:30 on Saturday morning. I mean, it's a long night. And those kids got on that bus looking at me Saturday morning. We got done with the invitation. Choir probably sang 100 times. Had 6 preachers. I mean, it was getting crazy. First time they ever saw a woman shout. I mean, it scared them out of their mind. I was loving it. It was like a fix for me. I mean, half of them women used to be my bus captains. I shout on, Sister April. It's helping me, man. I was getting happy. I mean, they're breathing with everything, that breath. We already talked about that Sunday. Amen. So anyway, so they just believe the Bible. So they were getting after it, having fun. We got on the bus, and I said, you kids all right? like you dropped them in Vietnam somewhere and pulled them right out. You okay? You know. Post-camp meeting syndrome. I mean, they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, amen.
So we went back to the hotel. I said, now, everybody be honest with me. What would you be doing right now on a Friday night, Saturday morning at 1:30 in the morning?
Yeah, amen.
Every one of them, we'd be watching movies, playing Xbox.
Yeah, come on.
I said, you still wouldn't go to bed, would you?
That's right.
Nah.
That's right.
Okay. Well, then everybody get along. Why don't you pray a little bit? Because we're leaving in 5 hours to go back to the service.
Amen.
Man, all the workers are like, I'm going to pray for sure. I mean, they're gone. Amen. We went in one night, and Brother Sammy Allen, Brother Tony had him preach. He preached about 11:45. I mean, he's just, I will tell you tonight, sir. And he picked three men. Had nothing to do with the message. He just said, you three men right there on the front row, go out and shout a little bit and come back and see me when you meet with God in the glory. And he looked at him and said, why are you still here, sirs? They got up and ran outside. I was like, that ain't fair. I know where those three are going because I know those three. They went to Starbucks, drank coffee, got in the glory, and came back. Amen. Carl had been right with them. Amen. But let Jesus, not everyone's going to enjoy the mount. Not everyone's going to the mount.
Amen. Yeah.
But you let Jesus take you. Let him try you. And the final thing by way of introduction, let me say, let Jesus transform you. Because the Bible says there in verse number 2, and was transfigured before them. Now, we understand that Jesus was the one that was transfigured. However, you're not going to be that close to Jesus Christ when he is changed without it changing you.
Amen.
Can I tell you, I'm not God and I can't judge anybody, but I'm called to preach, and I'm telling you this, you can't tell me that every Christian in all of our churches are close to Jesus Christ, because we can't look the way we look and talk the way we talk and act the way we act if we're really that close to Jesus.
Amen.
It's going to change our attitudes. It's going to change our emotions. It's going to change everything about us. You come to church, guess what we're doing? Hey, man. That's right.
Yes,
enjoy the singing. Some people do it just because that's what everybody around them's doing.
Right. Right.
I mean, I remember a Sunday night, I was a teenager. Boy, Dad was preaching. He was getting after it. I mean, he was shooting everything. It was one of those nights where it's like, dude, this is good. Until he comes your way. Oh, it's not good. And there's a guy in the second row. Dad's preaching away. And he said, I'm going to tell you one thing. What's wrong with these men, long-haired hippies? Well, this guy, Dad had led to Christ, brought him to church. I mean, it's his first service. But he was so into it. People were standing up and shouting. People waving their Bibles. He's standing up. He ain't even got a Bible. He's got a ponytail down to there. He's waving his hand. Yeah! And then dawned on him what he's saying. It was so, he went, oh, he sat back down, tucked his ponytail in his shirt, and jumped straight back up. Yeah! Went right back after it. I love that. You know why? Because when you get close to Jesus Christ, he going to change you.
Yep. Amen.
You parents ever looked at your son or daughter and say, who you been hanging with? Where'd you get that? Why are you talking that way? When you get with Jesus Christ, it'll change you. Can I give you three ways how to handle the mountain? Number one, endure the struggle. Endure the struggle. The Bible says that he took them, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. You have to endure the struggle. One, the struggle of where you came from. Those of you, as the pastor said earlier, you got saved. Some got saved early in life. Some got saved later in life. You know, those of us that got saved early in life, I mean, Brother Matt, I don't know about you. There's some songs that don't help me. You know, I mean, they're nice to sing on the bus, but they don't help me. You know, things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I mean, we ought to rewrite that. Things I used to do, I do a whole lot more. I got saved when I was 10. Amen. I mean, I was raised. It's not because of me. I was just raised in a very strict home. I mean, I thank God for it. I didn't like it when I was a kid, but I love it now.
Right.
You ain't going to live with Adolf Hitler or Mother Teresa without, you know, you got to act good. Say amen. I mean, my daddy was strict. Mama was stricter. Okay? But, you know, things I used to do, I've done a whole lot more since I got saved. Now, there was a great change. But let me talk to you that got saved, those of you that got saved later in life. Don't forget the struggle of where you came from. Don't get spiritual amnesia on us.
Amen.
Well, I've never done anything like that. Really? You know, God might have brought you through some things to help somebody else that's got to go through the exact
Amen.
Same thing.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God knows exactly. I believe in the sovereignty of God. Amen. God's at the beginning. God's at the end. According to Psalms 139, the Bible says that he compassed your path. He's already walked it. He's been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt and video. He knows exactly what you're going through.
Amen.
Don't forget what you had to fight through to get where you're at.
Amen.
Endure the struggle.
Amen.
You've had to struggle through some things in your previous years of living. Don't forget about it, Mom and Daddy. You might be able to help your teenager to say,
Amen.
That ain't the best. That's not where we're going. Endure the struggle of where you came from, but also endure the struggle of where you're going. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1. He took him up into a what? High mountain apart. I've read a lot of commentaries about this, and you know, theologians, man, I don't know what that word means. You got to be careful about all that. Some say, I read one where it says 9,600 feet above sea level. I read others where it said it wasn't nothing. Had a preacher get on to me the other day, Brother Cox, because I preached this thought, and he said, I've been there, and it's not the mountain you're talking about. I said, well, let me help you. I'm King James. Pretty much King James only. Matter of fact, I'm only James King. King James, if it ain't authorized, I don't want it.
Amen.
Okay? You'd be better just reading the wordless book, look at colors.
Amen.
Red, white, black. Amen. So I like to read the King James because it's the only word for English-speaking peoples.
Amen.
Everybody got that? And according to verse number 1, he took him to a high, that's opposite of low. High mountains. Anybody know what a mountain looks like? Can you help me with that? I mean, it ain't like, well, there it was right there. High mountain apart. You're going to tell me two other guys showed up, God speaking, Jesus is getting changed, and nobody else saw that? Exactly. Why? They were in a high mountain apart. So I'm just trying to help my brother out. I want a copy of this CD so I can send it to him. All right, listen to me. Because he needs help with King James only. Amen. Here they are. Endure the struggle where he came from, but endure the struggle where you're going. Get the picture. Jesus walks up and says, hey, Peter, James, John, y'all come with me. Sweet. Where are we going now? We're going to raise another girl from the dead. We.
Yeah.
And how church people do.
Yeah.
We had a big day. How many did you bring? Well, nobody. But
right.
Man, our church.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're happy. Don't get me wrong. But it'd be nice they did something to help. Amen.
Yeah.
You see Peter, James, and John, we going to raise another girl? No. Hey, see Peter, we ain't praying all night, are we? No, Peter, we're not doing that. Come on, go with me. Where are we going? We're mountain climbing. Sweet. And I'm sure it sounded good when they got started. Climbing a mountain. With who? Jesus. Can you imagine if Brother Jenkins or Brother Bob or Dr. Cox or Pastor Bell walked up and said, hey, could you three come with me? Let's go take a ride. Now, some of y'all be nervous, but you know, I don't want to go that one-way ride. And come on, let's go spend some time apart. It'd be like, whoa, dude, going to hang out with the preacher. I spent my whole life when I was a kid growing up running into preacher's offices. You know, every preacher come to our place and preach. And Daddy, I loved it. He just, you know, you could run in his office anytime. This morning, Miss Carla's a little girl. I mean, just cute as a bug. She come walking in there. She had that look like, I hope this is okay. Boy, I grew up doing that. I remember one time busting through the door, ripped the door open. Hey, Pops! And it wasn't Pops. Chair was turned back. Big old full head of white hair. The guy's on the phone. And I mean, I thought he's talking to God or something. Hello. And I mean, he hung up, turned around, stood up. Big old tall fella. And he had a blue double-breasted suit on. He walked over and shook my hand. It was J. Harold Smith. He was preaching that night. He preached on God's three deadlines. Our invitation went to 1:30 in the morning. Scared me so bad, I got saved 4 times. No, I'm just kidding. But we had a revival breakout. But can I tell you something? Here's Peter, James, and John. They're going with Jesus. You got to endure the struggle of where you're going. We're down here, but we're going up there.
Amen.
They start climbing. I imagine it's kind of fun. Here we go. We're climbing. We're walking with Jesus. We're climbing the mountain. This is phenomenal. But then all of a sudden, I can imagine the first time Peter might have cut his knee on a rock. Man, I'm bleeding. Good night. He might have said some things he shouldn't have said because Peter was that way. I can see, James, I can anoint you and have the church pray over you. Shut up, James. All of a sudden, John, I wanted to climb next to Jesus. Can I get over there? I need a hug. Shut up, John. And I can see about halfway up the mountain, all of a sudden, Peter saying, can I ask a question? Where are we going? I can see Jesus saying, I just keep climbing. And a lot of Christians, we get about halfway up our mountain, and all of a sudden, because I can't see the top, and I'm not the Son of God, I have no idea what he's doing in my life, and I have no idea why he said, let's climb that mountain. They had no idea what was on the top of that mountain, but what they needed to do was just keep climbing, and just keep climbing, and when they fell down, get back up and keep climbing, and when they were sweating profusely, and they're tired, and it doesn't feel good, and ain't nobody else around, I ain't signing Bibles, I ain't taking pictures. I have no idea why I'm climbing up this mountain. Jesus said, just keep climbing.
Amen.
Just keep climbing. And there's probably a lot of y'all that are about halfway up the mountain right now going, I have no idea. Why are we doing this? Because I said, and that should be enough. Here he is, his struggle of where they're going. I told the teenagers last week at the youth meeting that I remember going to Shawnee Camp, and they have a big swimming hole there at Indian Creek, and it's huge, man. They got this rock climbing wall out there in the middle of it. And I was working for Brother Tony at the time, matter of fact, and I'd taken our teenagers to camp there. And you know how teenagers are. One of them put an announcement on the pulpit. Brother Charlie Clark and Brother Scott Gray ain't climbed the climbing wall yet. And I thought, man, don't do that, because, you know, I got to take a challenge. I mean, I don't care if you said run your head in that wall, see if it knock over. If someone's willing to do it with me, let's do it. I'd get Chris to start it off. Amen. But okay, so we took the challenge. Brother Charlie said, I'll climb it. Well, what are you supposed to say? You know, I just don't feel like climbing the wall. You know, it didn't work. This is man's man. Let's climb the stupid wall. So we got down there in the swimming hole with all the boys and Brother Reno, you know, he ran the camp at the time. And I said, Brother Reno, you ever climb that wall? He said, I climb it every day. I said, shut up. Because if you ever seen Brother Reno, I mean, that's like King Kong climbing the Sears Tower. I love Brother Reno. He's my friend. But, I mean, I'm looking at him going, ain't no way you climbing that wall. He swam out there, climbed up it, Donkey Kong, man. Got to the top, sat down, jumped off, did it again. I was like, good night. I said, I've never climbed a wall. He said, I'll climb the top and help you. I said, that's what I'm talking about. Brotherly love. Amen. So I swam out there to the wall, and there's a part that does normal, part that's straight, and there's a part that kind of leans out when you get the top. Good friend. He took me there. So he's sitting on top. He goes, grab that. Swing over there. Grab that. I'm getting all the way to. By the time I got the top, I'm telling you, I had muscles hurting. I didn't even know I had. And I mean, my fingers were like stuck for a week. I was waving like that. You know, hey, what's up? And I felt like I was in a gang or something. So, I mean, I got to the top about a foot and a half away. And, man, I'm sitting there. I'm dying. You know, they had no idea where they were going. Can't you see Peter, James, and John in their Christian life? They're climbing this mountain, helping us with the spiritual application later on. And they have no idea. Jesus, why are we doing this? There's no multitudes. What are you teaching? Sometimes the teaching's not for the multitudes. Sometimes it's for us. Sometimes the truths of God. Hey, I'm preaching to me now. Let's not sit there in the pew. I hope he's getting this. Boy, this is for you. You turn around, Jesus is staring right at you. I hope you're getting, ooh, how are you? Endure the struggle. Number two, enjoy the saints. Look at verse number 2, if you would. Man, we got to hurry. Verse number 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with who? Him. Enjoy the saints. Can't you see them? They finally got the top of that mountain. I can see them as they're there, just like I was on that rock climbing wall. Man, it took me forever. I pulled over and I just rolled over. I was like, oh, thank the Lord I did it. And I'm laying there. Can't you see Peter, James, and John as they got top of that mountain? I don't know how long it took them. I know they stayed up there a while. But I don't know how long it took them, but there they are. And I can see James, man, I'm tired. Peter, you okay? Brother, I don't know how he does that. And the Bible says when they looked up, they saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Can you see John saying, hey, hush, look. I see Peter, who is that? James probably said, that looks like Moses. I've heard him talk about him. You mean like Ten Commandments, Moses? Yeah, that's him. That ain't Charleston Heston. And you can see him. That's Moses. Who's the other guy? He's a hairy fella. That's Elijah. They're talking with Jesus. Hey, young people, enjoy the saints. Don't come to church for a show. Let's get over coming to church because we have to. Let's come to church and love. I've been in church my whole life. When you get to church, listen to the saints of God talk and enjoy it.
Amen.
Listen to when they testify and enjoy it. Listen to when the man of God preaches and enjoy it. They're enjoying the time with the saints. I mean, enjoy it. Listen to them as they give their testimony. Listen to them as they say, let me teach you what God taught me. I mean, there ought to be some enjoyment with the saints. One, because of the transformation that happens to the saints. In verse number 2, as we read it earlier, he was transfigured before them and his face did shine. Boy, don't you love to see new converts grow?
Amen.
Don't you love to see old converts keep growing?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I know if we're not careful, well, I've heard that before. I even taught that. It's a little bit, I could do better. When the truth is, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing's sweet. Man, I'm telling you what, I love to see the transformation of people. I love to see them when they get in. I love to see them when they step up. I love to see them when all of a sudden, because the saints of God have encouraged them and they're happy about serving God in amazing grace, how sweet the sound is, just as sweet as it was the first time they sung it. Amen. I don't care if you hear a special 100 times. Somebody ought to back up and say, whoop, that helped me. Well, I just don't shout. Well, learn how.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you don't, you ought to want to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, I'm just not the emotional type. Okay, I want a recording next time you go to your favorite sporting event.
Yes.
Everybody okay?
Amen.
Next time you watch NASCAR, I want to see how you act.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, the transformation of the saints. Not only that, the talk of the saints. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with who? Him. They were talking with Jesus. They weren't talking with them. He didn't talk to Peter. He didn't talk to James. Didn't talk to John. They were talking with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the talk of the saints. Isn't it neat when the talk starts changing?
Yeah.
Yo, dog.
Yeah.
What's up, dude? What's up? It's like, where have you been? Now, I'm not saying you got to walk around and everything's holy talk. You go to McDonald's. Yes, mayest I have a number one for the work of the Lord, please? And I'd love to freshen my body to go be a servant of Christ. And, you know, there's time for that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you just want to clear the air, how are you doing this morning? I'm doing well, thank you. We had a good service last night. Pray for us. Uh-huh. That's pretty much going to set the mood.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have to walk around with a Turner Burn sign on me, okay? I'm in public schools every day of my life. I don't walk around with a Bible bigger than I just, you know, it doesn't work that way. Okay? But the talk of the saints. Like, young people ought to say words like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Or if you're from the Northie, yes, sir, praise the Lord, glory to God. And however you want to say it. But learn to talk like saints talk.
Amen.
Brother is a good word to use.
Amen.
Sister is a Bible word to use. Learn how to say amen, hallelujah, however you want to say it. Learn the talk of the saints. Amen.
Amen.
Is that a camp meeting down in Georgia, and an old preacher was preaching, Brother Milford Biddle, and he was preaching away, man, I mean, getting after it. He said, this woman, I'm on hey tonight. And I leaned over by the tongue. I said, what's a woman? He said, you're in Georgia, man. Everything ends with an R. It's a woman. I said, oh, okay, I'm with you. Amen. So that woman or woman, I don't care how you say it in John 4. Amen. Learn to enjoy the talk of the saints. He that hath an ear, the Bible says, let him hear.
Yeah.
They start talking, and then all of a sudden, I love what Peter does. Again, you heard me. He's my favorite disciple. They're talking with him. Here's Moses, Elijah talking with Jesus. These three are over there just watching. This is so cool. Wow. Peter can't handle it. All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, look at verse number 4.
Yeah.
Then answered Peter. Time out. Who asked him a question?
Nobody.
There ain't no question in verse 2. I love it. Peter's sitting there going, dude, that's Moses. Quick, draw a picture of him and put me in next to it. Elijah, fire. It's good right there. Then all of a sudden, Peter said, Lord, It's good for us to be here. Now, don't misunderstand. I've heard guys preach. You say, well, Peter, he should have kept quiet. Shut up. You're just jealous because you wasn't on the mountain. It was good to be there. I mean, you're looking at Jesus Christ. You hear Moses and Elijah talk with him. I don't know if maybe they were talking about Revelation. I don't know if maybe they were talking about the fact that Jesus, heaven's ready for you. They can't wait. We know it's close. We've heard God and the Holy Ghost talking about it. I mean, the angels are ready to wipe this place out. They can't handle the way your creation's treating you. Boy, we're ready to come back. We're ready to do your work. Boy, we sure do love you. All of heaven's waiting for you. I don't know what they're talking about, but Peter couldn't handle no more. He jumps up and said, oh, it is good to be here. Hey, guys, how you doing? Have you ever butted in a conversation you weren't supposed to be there? Amen. Young people know this. Your mom or dad ever give you that look like you're the dumbest person in the world right now? And I mean, you had something you wanted to say. Peter said, hey, it's Tabernacle Day. We normally have Goldfish Sunday. Today's Tabernacle Sunday. I'm building one for you, and I'm building one for you. Everybody gets Tabernacle. See, James, how are we going to pay for that? Shut up. It don't matter. Everybody gets Tabernacle. Now, obviously, he was wrapped up in the emotion of it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Let me say, when you get with Jesus, you're going to have emotion.
Amen.
I guarantee everyone that was healed had emotion.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He was walking and leaping and praising God. He didn't walk away after getting healed going, well, shh, don't tell nobody. What are you doing? I'm walking. I've never walked before, but it's not that big a deal.
Right.
No, you get with Jesus, you're going to have emotion. You spend time in that book. Hey, did I tell you what I read this morning, Mark chapter 2? And then they're going, oh, that's nothing. I read that years ago. Let me tell you what I read in Matthew chapter 1. I mean, you're going to have emotion. Peter jumps up and said, oh, it is so good to be here. Can't you see Moses going, who is that? Jesus, he's one of mine. Don't worry about it. Elijah, you want me to call down fire on him? Is he with us? Yeah. He's one of ours. Moses, you're strange. I don't want a tabernacle. There's no Home Depot up here. Where are you going to get the lumber? Sit down. Moses, you're the man. Thank you. He's talking away. Nobody's asked him a question. In the middle of it, the Bible says in verse number 4, build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Verse 5, while he yet spake, right in the middle of his conversation that nobody asked him anything, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to use this microphone right here. He's in the middle of enjoying himself. He's enjoying the transformation of the saints. He's enjoying the talk of the saints. He's enjoying the time with the saints. But right in the middle of it all, God wanted to remind everybody why they were there. While you're on the mountaintop this week, enjoy the music. Enjoy the preaching. Enjoy every invitation. I wouldn't let one invitation go by this week. I wouldn't let one invitation.
Amen.
Wouldn't let one invitation go by without getting down to an old-fashioned altar.
Amen.
You're telling me God showed up, talked to everybody but you?
Come on. Whoa. Come on.
Everybody okay? Two reasons why you ought to go to the altar, friend. Number one, because God speaks to your heart. Don't sit there. Hey, when God speaks, you better start moving.
Amen.
And if God doesn't speak, what's wrong with me?
That's right.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. That might have been my last service. All of a sudden, God shows up and he said, hey, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What did he say? Hear ye him. He didn't say hear Moses. He didn't say hear Elijah. Those are great men of God. He didn't say hear Peter, James, or John. He said hear him. Because you endure the struggle, you enjoy the saints, but then you have to exalt the Savior. It's demanded in verse 5. He said, hear ye him. It's desired, verses 6 and 7, when they fell on their face, they were sore afraid. And Jesus did what? Touched them. Oh, it's desired. Don't you just love the touch of God? Don't you love it when God comes down in your world and touches your life? And then not only is it desired, but it's dominating. Look at verse number 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Bible doesn't say that Moses and Elijah were gone. Many times I read that before, I thought, well, they're already gone. Bible doesn't say that. And even if those two were gone, there's still Peter, James, and John. They didn't see anybody. You know what I believe happened? I believe Moses and Elijah both flat on their face. I think Peter, James, and John flat on their face. And the Bible says, they lifted their eyes. They didn't even get up. I think that's what heaven's going to be like for a mighty long time. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be all the doctor so-and-so's over here, and if you're on a bus, you're over here, and if you did this, you're over. No, it's just going to be a sea of saints laying on their face. And every now and then we'll look up and say, that's him. Wow, thank you. We don't have time to look at, but in Luke chapter 9, verse 37, same story, different gospel. The Bible says, and the next day, well, I like that, they were up there a while. Some of y'all feel like that right now, don't you? But I'm telling you, it's good. And then it says the next day when they came down from the hill. You see, you get on the mountain with God, it'll seem like just a hill when you're coming down. Moses is on that mountain of speculation. I wonder what? And God said, uh-oh, stick with my commandments. You stick with what I told you. Elijah was up on that mountain, I think, with that domination. Because old Jezebel said, tomorrow I'm going to kill you. God said, nah, you're all right. You're with me. When you're up there with Jesus Christ, you're going to come down like it was a hill. And he said, don't tell anybody. I love it. Jesus says that all the time. Boy, that's tough to do. I know what I just saw. How'd you like to be Mary, one of the first ones where she just kept those things in her heart and pondered them? You know, the truth is you really can't explain to people. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just saying, get there. And he'll change you as well. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness. I pray that you bless. Thank you for this week. You've been so kind to us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for service. Lord, I pray that you bless Dr. Cox and fill him, please, with your power. Would you bless the remainder of this week? Be involved in everything. And as I said earlier, and I mean it with all my heart, Lord, we'll praise your name for it. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen.